This is y nada más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Man, every single time I'm letting those run a little bit longer. I don't know if you guys like that or don't like that. But, you know, I'm just vibing. And I think we're all vibing, right? Everyone, all of you Madridistas, I think we're feeling like things are turning around. It's not all great. It's not all, you know, roses and daisies for Madrid. But it's turning around, right? It's turning around. You know, we still got a long way to go, of course. Still a lot of changes to be made. There's a lot of drama in the club. There's a lot of injuries, unfortunately. And we'll talk about that. But I think, you know, three wins in a row. Maybe that pissed off Zidane at the press conference before Huesca was kind of a good thing, right? I'm wondering if he really did go into the dressing room and talk some shit, you know? So I'm liking what I'm seeing, and I hope you guys are too. So a couple of announcements, I guess. Not really announcements. Remember, guys, you can always follow me on social media. Follow the podcast on social media as well. It's at Inadamas Podcast, and that is on Twitter, on Facebook, and Instagram. Now, I'm most active on Twitter. So hit me up on Twitter, at Inadamas Podcast. Sometimes I'll disappear. Some of the guys will tell you. Sometimes I'll disappear, but it's mostly because I got to do work. Because I have my regular day job and I'm doing things like that. And then in addition to that, you know, we had Valentine's Day this weekend. My anniversary is this week. My wife's birthday is this week. So I got a bunch of shit I got to take care of so that we don't end up divorcing and she doesn't hate me. For the fact that I don't know if you guys have checked out some of the YouTube videos that I do for Real Madrid Hub, which that's another announcement. You know, I do videos on YouTube for Real Madrid Hub. It's a channel I started with my good friend, Dr. Jota. Dr. Jota, he has two channels, Dr. Jota and Jota Real Madrid. He does a lot of updates of news going on in Spain. He does them in Spanish on his channels, but he's joined up with me and we're doing some in English. We're doing some some videos in English. Sometimes he gives his point of view, I give mine. These are in English. Those are in English. So he's, there's just a lot of Madrid content out there. There's a lot of stuff to give opinions on. You know, there's a lot of news coming in and out all the time. Some of it is negative. Some of it is positive. Some of it is reliable. Some of it isn't. You know, so we try to get to the, you know, Jota and I. And I rely a lot on, just so you guys know, I rely a lot on Jota sometimes with some of this stuff because, you know, he is from Spain originally. So he kind of gives me a lot of updates on, you know, who I should be listening to. You know, obviously you have Marca, you have Diario As, you have El Chiringuito, which, you know, El Chiringuito, believe it or not, there are some things that are reliable there, but then there are a lot of things that there are things that are reliable there because a lot of these guys have tie-ins to some of the team. And some of them are, some things I think are just played up obviously for the cameras. And if you speak Spanish and you watch a Chiringuito, there are some things that are played up to be more dramatic and things like that. And then there's also, you know, a lot of stuff that's just, I think that is just kind of like, you know, a lot of times the exclusivas and they're going to be like going on and on and on about obviously the Ramos situation and then the Mbappe situation, you know, seeing if we're going to get Mbappe and Haaland and then Messi and then how much he's charging and all this stuff. So yeah, a lot of stuff gets repetitive and I'm trying to definitely bring up some of the stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff being said about Ramos and it's kind of getting repetitive too. And there was actually an article about, you know, whether or not, you know, some of the stuff that's being said is coming from Ramos himself or Florentino, or if it's just coming from people that supposedly say they know him or they know somebody that knows him. You know, they got a, you know, a mother's second cousin that has a friend that, you know, met Sergio Ramos at the ice cream shop or something, you know, that kind of shit. So you have all that type of stuff that pops up here and there. And we can't control those things. You know, a lot of times those are rumors. And, you know, what Jota does a lot of times, you know, he kind of hits me up and we talk and we chat a little bit about what's going on and things like that. So it's been a good team up in that sense. I got my friend that's doing a lot of stuff on Instagram. He's, you know, he's doing some designs and things like that on Instagram. So we're just growing, you know, and we're growing little by little, and it's been good. And I just want to tell you guys that I appreciate you. I always kind of want to throw out my appreciation for the support out there. You know, doing this stuff it's time consuming, you know. You know, like I said, I got my regular day job and I'm doing this podcast and I'm doing Real Madrid Hub and I'm trying to put up like 2 or 3 videos a day. But at the same time, I'm trying to balance it with work because I don't want to get fired from work over Real Madrid unless, you know, Real Madrid pays me, you know. And that's not throwing shade to say, hey, they should pay me. You know, there's plenty of good content out there. And, you know, it's funny because I actually, you know, I don't know if they listen to the podcast. You know, different people, but, you know, managing Madrid, I don't know how to say his name, Kian Sobani. That dude is legit, man. I mean, obviously he's got the biggest podcast managing Madrid, but I was like reading some of his stuff and then just talking about, it's cool that he kind of reaches out to, he has like this whole thing where he trains like journalists and stuff like that, or he like talks about sports journalism or whatnot. And he had this little video that I thought was really interesting because like, this is kind of just going off on a tangent about podcasting and things like that. But a lot of you guys, you know, you guys are on Twitter, and I see some of you guys that are doing like, you know, shout out to some of these other, you know, Madridista community guys that are doing like, you know, doing articles and keeping news up and everything. It's cool, man. I like it how it's like there's a little bit of a tight-knit family there. We know each other, not really by name sometimes, but really just by our handles on Twitter, you know. But you have the Madrid community, which you got like, you have people like Los Blancos Live, you have Madrid Zone, you have Infinite Madrid, you have the Happy Madridista, shout out to you, brother. You know, so you have a lot of guys that are writing some good stuff. Then you got the Real Champs, shout out to those guys as well, doing some really good stuff. And then you got Managing Madrid, who's also been doing a lot of stuff for a long time. And I think a lot of those, everybody's been, you know, everybody puts together some really good stuff. And I think what's cool is like I was looking at a video that Kian Sobani had put out, and it was basically about, you know, how a lot of times, you know, a lot of people are putting out content and then they're worried like that the market might be too saturated or whatnot with like Real Madrid content. And the thing is, it's funny because he says like there's really no competition, you know. It's kind of like where everyone's doing their thing. You know, the way my podcast is, it's just me talking on the microphone, and I'm more of a fan. You know, I don't really get into a lot of the, you know, the analysis of the game and everything like that, because I mean, I'm a football follower, but I came into it, as you guys know, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, I came into the game mostly because of COVID. I decided to, you know, jump into this because it was my passion. And I've always been a football fan, like big time, and I've always been a Real Madrid fan. But my background, where I started, which was kind of cool because I saw that like Sobani started with like the Raptors and, you know, his love for the Toronto Raptors and stuff like that. I started out like, as you guys know, I started out in the fighting community. So I started out, you know, doing a podcast that was all about fighting. You know, the style that I practiced was Muay Thai kickboxing. You know, and it was growing, you know, before COVID hit. You know, it's been growing pretty big in the U.S., but it's pretty big in Europe. You know, it's pretty big in Asia, obviously. It's the national sport of Thailand. So I was fighting, you know, I was traveling. I have my gym here that I, you know, my coach, that's been my coach since I was like maybe 17 or 18. You know, he's been here for a long time. And sometimes what I used to do was I used to be like the assistant coach. And then what happens is, you know, I got older, I had my family, had kids, and you kind of get out of the fight game a little bit because just time, you know, being a professional athlete, and I wasn't a professional athlete, I was, you know, I fought at a pretty high level, but never got to say, hey, you know, I would say you could consider it semi-pro, but you get to a point where it's just like, that's why it's so, for me, like you'll see on this podcast, what I'll talk about a lot is I don't like to talk trash about professional athletes. So a lot of times I see a lot of these guys on Twitter and Madridistas, and you're talking shit about players and stuff like that. And I'm not really into that whole thing, because at the same time, like, I remember what it was listening and talking to, like, I would chat up a lot of professional fighters, and, you know, they hear stuff from the crowd. Oh, you suck. You know, you fucking suck and all this stuff. And it's ridiculous, because it's people that, you know, a lot of times, yeah, we might be fans and we might have an, you know, and you could be an educated fan where, you know, and you can analyze things, and you have the perspective of looking at the game, and you've been in it a long time, or maybe you've played a little bit, but it doesn't equate to, you know, a professional athlete that is getting, you know, that is doing this as their only sole, as their sole source of income. Now, you can also trash them because you're saying, you know, why are we paying so much money for a guy who's not that great? But they had a, you know, the reason they're getting paid that money is because they had to have some talent to get to their, to where they are. Are they going to be the greatest talent in the world? Not all of them, you know. I think we can say there's a plenty of soccer players all over the world, plenty of football players. Not all of them are going to be, you know, not all of them are going to be Messi. Not all of them are going to be Cristiano Ronaldo, Toni Kroos, Modric, you know. You know, I tell you, like, we trash on Lucas Vazquez, but I guarantee you, like, if any of us, you know, went onto the pitch with Lucas Vazquez, he'd absolutely destroy all of us. You know, so, you know, that's kind of my perspective on things. I like to look at it as a fan, but I like to be respectful, unless you're from Barcelona, you know, and I try to keep it that way, you know. that's my thing. But anyway, so that was just kind of my little drawn-out speech there. But you know, I'm loving doing this thing, man. And like I was saying, listen, reading that whole thing about Keon talking about how all these, you know, a lot of people are getting into this and doing podcasts and stuff or blogs or whatever. I mean, there's space for everybody to do it. You know, you just got to sit down and do it. Like, if you've been questioning whether you're going to sit down, like whether you're going to get behind a mic and do it, just do it, you know? You know, I've had experience because I've done podcasts before. I worked in radio. So there's things like that, but it doesn't mean that you can't do one, you know? And doesn't mean you have to have like a degree in communications or whatnot. My degree is in political science, and then I never used it. You know what I mean? I ended up going into fighting, for God's sake. And then I ended up getting out of fighting, and I ended up getting in radio, you know? And then in digital marketing, which is what I do, like for the company I work for now, I work in digital marketing. I work essentially in social media, you know, so there's little things that tie in, but everything's digital now. So if you like, you know, if you guys are, I really like that, because it was cool to see that, you know, he has a big platform essentially for Madrid, and, you know, we're all kind of part of this really cool community. So, you know, if you feel like you got a voice and you want to share some, you know, analysis and do stuff, you know, just go ahead and do it. I think it's cool. And it really kind of made me, reading that article just kind of made me like say, you know, I want to stick with this. And I want to stick with it for another reason, guys, because it's just football so amazing, because it does tie a lot of people together and everything. And we have some fun, you know, on the Twitter community and whatnot, especially with like the football Twitter or whatever. So that's where you can find me, on Twitter most of the time, on Instagram, on Facebook. Of course, we have our page and whatnot. We have our page on the website, which is inadamas.net, where you'll find like all our episodes. You'll find articles from my good friend Trombach. And Trombach is somebody who joined me because he was simply a guy who was writing Real Madrid articles and stuff, you know, out in India. And he does like other publications. He's writing for other publications out there. And boom, man, you know, he just hit me up and, you know, I chatted with him a little bit, and big Madrid fan. And boom, here we are, you know, now he's part of the Inadamas podcast. Cause you know, we can use all the help we can get. You know, I lost one of my editors, and cause there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. There's a lot of moving parts, you know. I want to make it sound good. I want it to be fun, you know. You know, no one's going to listen to an hour fucking podcast if it's not fun or engaging, you know. Probably some of you probably don't listen to the whole thing, you know. But anyway, you know, and now I got, shout out to El Bikingo. He's another guy on Twitter there. Also from out in India, and he wrote something for me, and I haven't put it up on the website yet. So sorry, man, I will put it up soon. I'll get my guy to do it. So You know, but there's a lot of cool things, man. There's a lot of content out there, and there's just a lot of opinions. And especially, like I was talking in the last podcast, the last episode, where there's a lot of it. It's a good time and a bad time. I guess it's a bad time to be a Madridista because, you know, we suffer so much when we're seeing the games. But it's a good time to be a Madridista and be involved in content because, like, this drama and this craziness of not knowing what's happening when and well, you know, all this stuff, like, well, the renewals and, you know, new players and, you know, guys are leaving and, you know, guys are getting older and what are we going to do and all this kind of stuff is really interesting. So it gives you even more content to, like, jump in. And then if you get involved, I mean, if you guys understand Spanish and you go and start reading stuff like from Marca and AS, I mean, although Marca, I think you can see it in English. There's just plenty of drama going on all the time. And the Spanish media is crazy. But I can tell you as somebody who's Latin, as somebody who grew up in South America, man, I mean, the media is just always nuts. And especially in Spanish, they like to be like amarillistas. They like to be amarillistas is like they want to be like the supermarket tabloids. You know, they want to play things up and be like, you know, really. And I guess in sports media in the U.S., we do that, too. You know, so it's always like that. You know, it's always a little bit of banter and crap talking and stuff like that. And you know, my team's better than yours and regionalism when it comes to like, oh, I'm from, you know, and then you know, we have the rivalry of all rivalries in Spanish football. If you're a Madrid fan, the rivalry of all rivalries is Barcelona Real Madrid. So I mean, it's just, you know, it's fun. You know, and it's fun insulting them and them insulting us and whatever, you know, like we want them to lose all the time. You know, we bask in their suffering, you know, the Schadenfreude is amazing. So the other thing I want to say, and again, shout out to all you guys that are listening. Thank you for listening. It's been growing. I'm really happy about it. So the top 10 of the people that are listening is United States is number one. India is number two, which I think is Trombach just listening to the episode like each time, like 4,000 times. And then it's not 4,000, but you know. Then you got Canada, Spain, shout out to La Madre Patria, Germany, Sweden, Thailand, and Denmark, United Kingdom, and Venezuela. Those are the guys. Those are the places that are listening the most, which surprises me that I think Thailand surprises me quite a bit. Although I know they're really into football there because I traveled there and they're really into football, but mostly the Premier League. And yeah, man, you know, Denmark, the United Kingdom. I mean, obviously the United Kingdom has a lot of fans there, but of football, of course. It started there, right? So, you know, just shout out to all of you guys. So let's talk about this game. You know, let's talk about this game against Valencia today. It was good, right? It was good.
Vamos, Madrid.
Yep. Vamos, Madrid. Three in a row. And I like what I'm seeing. I really like what I'm seeing. You know, it's kind of been, like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago when that whole thing with, I think there was a switch, you know, and Real Madrid tends to be there. I know all of you Madridistas know this by now, but if you've been following Real Madrid for like the last 3 years and even beforehand, it seems like Real Madrid is always a slow starter. Real Madrid always seems to lose games that they shouldn't lose, like at the beginning of the season. And then they start picking up slowly. And then when they get to the Champions League, it's like a new switch turns on. We've never been that great in Copa del Rey. It doesn't seem like we take it that seriously, which is, I guess, good and bad. But it seems like, you know, we're looking for the bigger prizes. But obviously, being Real Madrid, you want all of the trophies, right? But Champions League seems to be the one where Real Madrid wants the most. Maybe it's a money issue, obviously, because when you win the Champions League, it's the most, you're getting the most money. But, you know, I think that's where we like to focus a lot of our efforts. And you can tell, I guess, a little bit. Definitely, you know, Copa del Rey always seems to be the kind of one we kind of phone it in, which sucks because it shouldn't really be that way. But, you know, we play with, We end up playing with canteranos, you know, with guys from the you know, the youth of the second division team from Castilla. We start playing, you know, we substitute our goalkeepers, you know, we bring in really, like, we don't bring in our heavy hitters for Copa del Rey until it gets to maybe, you know, the quarterfinal or semifinals of and the final, if we go to it, of the competition. But besides that, we don't really look on that. And I don't say I agree with it. It just seems like, well, that's what Real Madrid does sometimes, especially lately. And then, like I said, it always seems that Real Madrid starts out slow and then starts building up, which is frustrating because we always end up having to chase, you know, we always end up having to chase Barcelona or the last few years Atletico Madrid. You know, so we always have to end up chasing the teams in order to get back into the spot. Now, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know if we're going to be able to catch up to Atletico Madrid, but they have, you know, they have slipped. There are still plenty of games left. It's really hard to see them losing all of those points. Although, you know, they could lose against us. They could lose against Barcelona. So it's really, you know, those are points that can be, those are points that, let's say, for Barcelona that wants to, you know, also obviously fight for the top four or the top three and get into the Champions League spots, and also probably wants to still make a run at La Liga, they are still going to try and take points away from Atletico Madrid when they get the chance. We have to do the same thing when we play them again. Now, we've already beaten both of those teams. We just got to do it again. And then we got to hope also that Barcelona beats Atletico Madrid as well to take points away from them. But we got to hope they lose against other teams so that we continue getting further. Now, how are we going to do all that when we have so many injuries going on? I mean, look at Getafe. The Getafe game. We lost, you know, again, injuries. Marcelo, Marvin, who had a really good game, was out after, you know, he's out after that game. Marcelo, who, yeah, we don't use him that much, but he was, you know, he showed us a new facet of his career, essentially, where we might be able to use him as a makeshift center attacking midfielder, you know, if we need it, or a left winger, who knows. But, you know, there's opportunities there, and it sucks that he's injured, you know. And then I think the biggest blow for me, at least, and for everyone today, you know, was definitely Carvajal. Losing him against Valencia was just crappy to see. However, I'd have to say I question why we brought him out in the first place, you know, so early when a guy is so prone to injuries. You know, but again, I kind of agree and don't agree with starting him. I mean, you could have started Lucas Vazquez in that position, which he ended up playing anyway. And he did a great job, in that position. Today he did a solid job. I believe he got, I was looking at the score, not the scores, the, I was looking at the interceptions. No, not intercept. Well, he had this. He had one interception. Sorry, he had five key passes. Lucas Vazquez actually had five key passes during this game. So he was solid. You know, obviously, he lost the ball a couple of times. He made some good. He lost the ball a couple of times, but besides that, he was solid, you know, and he got an assist in one of the goals. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, should he have been brought in as the right back at first? If Carvajal is so injury prone, should he have been the one to go in first and, you know, and start out and maybe, you know, bring him in or maybe not bring him in at all during this game? You know, if Lucas Vazquez was playing a good game, which he did, not bring him on at all. You know, you had Vinicius and Asensio starting at left wing and right wing. I think they were both actually pretty solid today. Vinicius, continues to sort of be building back up again. His confidence is coming back. I really do believe in my theory. In my theory and in everyone, and it's not just my theory, but I think a lot of you have believed the same thing. It wasn't even mentioned in the Spanish press, but obviously that whole bust up with, not bust up because they weren't fighting, but the little disagreements and the kind of shit talk that was going on there behind his back between with Mendy and Benzema saying, you know, don't play the ball to him because he wasn't performing. I think really hurt his confidence. I mean, you got to remember, Vinicius is what, like a 21-year-old kid? So to have somebody that you look up to, in the essence, somebody like Karim Benzema, kind of tear you down that way, has to be something that is going to bother you. But it seems like they're on better terms. We're seeing some good interaction between both of them. I'm liking what I'm seeing also. I'm liking what I'm seeing a lot because we were like a lot of people were talking trash too about, you know, Mendy, not, you know, nothing to do with it defensively because defensively he is solid. He is amazing. But he is, as opposed to what we had with Marcelo, he is a purely defensive player. Who, when he goes up and plays offense, is not as, I would say, his passes aren't as clean. He's not as incisive, obviously, as Marcelo is. He is not, you know, but Marcelo is more so, he's more of an offensive player than he is a defensive player, even though his position is left back. Mendy, on the other hand, is a solid defender all around. We've seen him play at center back now in the game against Getafe, and he was incredibly solid. So he is a very talented player. And now what we're seeing is, you know, he got another goal today, and it was disallowed for an offsides call, but it was a close call, and it was a good interaction between him and Vinicius. And, you know, we're seeing some, you know, and I'm thinking Vinicius is being that creative, finding that creativity again, and finding that confidence again, which bodes really well for Madrid going forward when we're going into these games that we're really going to need. I mean, Valencia, I would say, you know, on paper, Valencia always seems like a big test, but today they just come completely completely crapped the bed because today was just somebody wrote it on Twitter. I forgot who it was, but they were basically saying, you know, that Valencia looked like cones, you know, like the cones that you dribble around on the field to work on your game. And that's what they looked like today. It's just a far throw, far, far, far away from, you know, the team that Valencia used to be, where Valencia was always problematic for Real Madrid. And now, well, I don't know. It's funny because Valencia is always problematic for us when we play at Mestalla. Always. You know, we always lose points at that stadium. I hate going there. But when we play them, you know, even when we played them in El Bernabeu, they were always troublesome. But since then, they've just completely fallen apart as a team. And it really sucks because I wrote on Twitter, I used to love them when they were, you know, I was always a Madrid fan, of course, but I liked, you know, when that era, when they had Pablo Aimar, when they had Gaizka Mendieta and Angulo, you know, Roberto Ayala. I mean, they had such a solid team, Santiago Cañizares. You know, there were just so many, it was just such an incredible team, and to see how far they've fallen. I mean, it works for us, but it helped us today, but was it really a test? You know what I mean? Was it really a test for the team today? And I think it wasn't. You know, it's a test because we've been struggling with some of these, I would say, lesser teams, and Valencia usually isn't one of those lesser teams that you would put in there in that group, but they definitely were on the pitch. You know, so, you know, Huesca put up more of a fight, you know. I would say Getafe looked terrible too. But the thing is, when Madrid's midfield, When the Madrid midfield with Toni Kroos and Luka Modric and Casemiro, when those three guys are all playing well, like they did today, they are absolutely, I think, impossible to deal with. And that is why, so I know a lot of people are questioning, you know, oh, Fede Valverde and, you know, Martin Odegaard and all these things. And I, you know, I think at the beginning of the season, I was even one of the people, as much as you guys all know that listen to this podcast about how much I am a Luka Modric fan, I completely expected that this season what we were going to see was Fede Valverde starting every game and Luka Modric coming in as pretty much like a super sub. Luka Modric decided to like throw up the middle finger to everybody that thought that he was done. And essentially is having what I think is probably one of his best seasons at Madrid. And then Toni Kroos is on another level. And then Casemiro in the last few games has been absolutely, you know, we don't talk about Casemiro enough, I think, when we talk about our midfield three, because we're always, we're always thinking about the guys who create and move the ball forward. While Casemiro is the guy, essentially, that is, you know, that job of center defensive midfielder is always kind of like the thankless job, because essentially your job is to tackle, get the ball before it gets, you know, basically be a shield for your center backs, get the ball before it even gets to the defense, and then get rid of it as quickly as possible. Essentially, you know, handing it off to the creative players, such as either your wingers or your other center midfielders. So essentially, his job is just to get rid of the ball as soon as he can, and track back and just chase people down and do all the dirty work. It's like the workhorse job of the field, but he does an amazing job at it, but it's almost like you don't see it. I mean, he did a tackle today that was freaking beautiful. And I think I tweeted it. Just textbook. I mean, robbed the ball from him, might as well just have taken his lunch money and patted him on the head and say, listen, man, go sit down because, you know, you're in my pocket. Essentially, that's what it was. But defensively, he was amazing today. And then Luka Modric, Luka Modric sometimes just intercepts balls at will, it seems like it. It seems there's, and in this season, he's been so critical with that. He's been so many games where I've seen that Luka Modric just is standing there when the goalkeeper is going to try to move the ball out of the back, the opposition's goalkeeper, and the keeper, in this case, Dominic, is going to try to move the ball out of the back. And, you know, he passes it either to one of the center backs or to one of the fullbacks. And then anytime they try to make a cross into the midfield, he's there, you know. Modric is just waiting to pick off a ball. And he's done it in the times he's scored. I think there was the game against Shakhtar where he scored. And then the other game, I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. But the other game, there was another game where he just picked the ball off as well and immediately ran towards the goal and ended up scoring. So, you know, or he passes it an assist. I mean, essentially, he's sometimes just doesn't seem, you don't even see that he's there until he's already taken the ball. And it catches you by surprise. He had three interceptions in this game. The only other person that had as many interceptions as he did was Nacho, who, again, is another workhorse that we have. And he's another, not a diamond in the rough because he's always been around. But he's one of those guys that I think, you know, a lot of people have been talking about getting rid of Nacho, whatever. I think Nacho is one of those guys that you just keep, you know. You keep him because he's one of those squad players that if you, in a pinch, let's say in this case that we don't have a Sergio Ramos and we don't have a Militao, he's doing an admirable job. And now Varane and him look solid, you know. Varane was a little shaky at the back at the beginning, he was solid besides that. Let's look at the numbers for Toni Kroos, which was, again, looking here, I got an assist, got a goal, of course, four key passes, which was just one less than, obviously, than Lucas Vázquez. But aside from that, 92.7% accuracy. I'm sorry, 94.4% passing accuracy. The 92.7% accuracy was Lucas Vázquez, which I said, you know, I feel had a solid, solid game today. Toni Kroos, but look at the amount of, Lucas Vázquez had 68 passes while Toni Kroos was essentially the person that was moving the ball the most with 107 passes, and he had a 94%. The guy's never below 90. And then Luka Modric, who I think against Getafe had maybe like a 72% passing accuracy rate, had a great game today with 90% passing accuracy. And Casemiro had a great game today with 91% passing accuracy. Vinicius, Nacho, all of them. I mean, Vinicius also had it. Was up above the 90s. Marco Asensio. I mean, everyone was moving the ball around cleanly. Today, our attack worked. Marco Asensio could have done better. He got a beautiful pass from Modric, was not able to, you know, wasn't able to capitalize on that. There was another, you know, pass from Modric where Benzema tried to back heel, couldn't score it. And then there was another one where Benzema dribbled to the near post and ended up getting, you know, his shot blocked as well. But the attack was all over. We were trying to score, and then obviously Vinicius, you know, he that run he made where Mendy cuts to the inside and essentially goes behind the last man and then returns, and Vinicius has the ball. And I think everybody, all of us were thinking, is he going to make the right decision? Is he going to make the right decision? Is he going to make the right decision? And he did. He made the right decision. You know, Mendy comes back. He makes the pass to Mendy. Mendy evades the central defender and scores. Mendy just, his back foot was the one that was off the was offside. So it was a close one, but it would have been beautiful in the sense that, you know, it was just showing that all the parts were moving. But again, the caveat to all this, the caveat to the entire game to me was you were really playing against the Valencia that looked completely gone. Essentially, they looked like they were all asleep out there. So it was a bad game for them. But it was one of those games. But sometimes you think, I mean, as bad as they played, you got to look at the numbers of, you know, obviously the interceptions, obviously the passing accuracy, and the fact that our midfield, when they are working together, Casemiro, Modric, and Kroos, have been absolutely devastating. I mean, they have made teams, when we played Inter, they made them look average. When we played Borussia Dortmund the second game, they made them look average. When they can shut down that midfield, they essentially make the other team have no options. And when they are operating like that, I feel this team can go very far. The problem is, you know, you got three guys that, you know, we hope to high heavens pretty much that none of them get injured. We already had to do a crazy formation in order to substitute Toni Kroos, when we played Getafe and he wasn't available because of suspension. We were able to solve the problem and get the win. But those guys are so integral that I just hope they can stay healthy and that they continue to play this way day in and day out. Now, it looks like Modric, honestly, Modric has a motor that seems like no one else can match it right now in La Liga. There was an article, I think it was in Marca, where it was talking like nobody is playing. Nobody is playing right now La Liga like Modric is playing. He's playing as if his life depended on it. Here it is. The article is in Marca from Juan Ignacio Garcia Ochoa. Messi, Suarez, and Llorente. None of them can match Modric this season. Just kind of showing, like, you know, he is playing at another level. He is playing at another level. He is to me, aside from Kuros, I think it's hard to pick between them because they are such a good match for each other. It's hard to pick one or the other because they've been so solid. And then what is great about having two guys that are at the top of their game like this is that you essentially have, if Modric is not having a great game, Kuros is having a great one. And if Kuros isn't having a great game, which still usually isn't under 90% passing accuracy, Modric is having an absolute barn burner, you know? So it's such an incredible matchup. And going back to, you know, what I was saying about Fede Valverde, everybody expected that Fede Valverde was essentially going to be our starter pretty much game in and game out, because he is, for me, he is an incredibly talented player. No doubt about it. One of my favorite guys right now, one of my favorite players, you know, of the new crop of players that we have at Madrid. You know, I think he's going to be back soon, and he's recovering. So, you know, we're going to have him available, but nobody expected that Modric was going to show this, you know, facet of his game at 35 years old this season. Nobody was expecting it. And the crazy thing is, to think that he is having this amazing of a season, and Kroos as well, when the rest of the team, aside from Casemiro, you know, and, you know, some other flashes of the greatness that, you know, they possess, in the sense of, like, you know, Vinicius starting to get confidence again, and Asensio starting to show his talent again, and Karim Benzema obviously being lethal in front of goal when he wants to be, and when he's in form, which we're starting to see it, like, pick up again. You know, instead of those flashes, but the consistency has essentially been Casemiro, Modric, and Kroos. And then I would say Ramos as well. Now that he's injured, it remains to be seen what's going to happen. Obviously, he's not, I don't think he's at, we don't, I mean, I don't even want to talk about the whole contract situation, because there's been plenty of things that I've read that have been sort of like, we don't even know where that contract situation is. Pedrerol said today in El Chiringuito, and I'll probably talk about it tomorrow on one of the Real Madrid Hub videos, if you guys want to check it out, or today, because I don't know what time it is for you guys. But, you know, the Pedrerol said today, you know, that obviously Madrid is 100% sure that he's going to leave. And once again, we're back to that whole thing. But this has been, you know, Ramos at Madrid. And I don't want to lose Ramos, but if it happens, it happens. And it's by no fault of anybody but those two guys, where, you know, and then, I mean, I don't know. To me, as much as I like Ramos, and I, you know, I absolutely love the guy, because the dude seems like, to everyone else in the world, he's a dick. You know, he's one of those dirty players, or they feel he's like a dirty, rough player. But if you're a Madrid fan, you love him because you're like, well, he does what he needs to do to get the job done, you know? And then a lot of players all over the world have said, yeah, he's a dick, but everybody wants one of those guys on your team, because essentially he's a leader, both on and off the pitch. And, you know, he's one of the best defenders in the world, and he can also score, you know, so he can make a huge difference on a team. So do I want to lose him? No. But, you know, at this point, it seems like if he's either set on not accepting a contract, and Florentino is set on not, you know, changing Madrid's ways, then it is what it is. You know, it's a business. And I am completely aware that it is a business. Yeah, you got to take emotion out of it. And as much as I love the guy, and I'd love to keep him, and I still hope, I just put a new poster of Sergio Ramos on my studio wall that I purchased. And it happened, I got the poster before this whole, you know, debacle with his his renewal happened. And then I was debating putting it up, but then I was like, you know what, man, the guy, regardless if he leaves or stays, he's always going to be a Madrid legend. He is. And I think one of the reasons to keep him, aside from the fact that he's still fit, he's still doing his thing, and he's still going to be a solid asset to the team if he stays, is the fact that, as I've said in other podcasts, he is now synonymous with Madrid. He is the icon of our team. I would say more so than Cristiano, more so than any other player right now on the pitch. He is the one that is the icon. Does that make him a good leader? I don't know. I know he's a good leader and has been a good leader, but there was a YouTube video by Ramon Alvarez de Mon. I think that's what his name is. And he has a pretty good thing. He has a pretty good YouTube channel. He's on Radio Marca. He has another show, La Galerna. And he was talking about, and I'm just going to do this. I was going to do a whole video on it, but I didn't want to talk more about Ramos during when I was doing some Real Madrid Hub videos this week. But so he was saying that essentially, and it's a big, big, big accusation, but he was basically saying, or you know, not accusation, but I would say like, a big rumor and a very devastating rumor, if it is in fact that. But it was saying that that many people in the dressing room were tired of Ramos. They were tired of the entire situation. They were tired of his essentially, I guess, his ego. What they felt as him not sort of. I guess playing along with or being, you know, trying to see the point of view of what the club was going through or trying to do. And that essentially, I don't know if it's that he was whining about it in the dressing room or talking about it in the dressing room, or it's been such an ongoing thing. And I'm pretty sure all these players get questioned about it too, that essentially they were saying that, you know, a lot of the players in the dressing room are fed up. You know, now to me, I don't know what that means, but I don't know, you know, who is it? Who is it that's fed up? I mean, who in the dressing room would have the balls to face Ramos and be like, dude, you're screwing up? It would have to be people from the old guard, right? It would have to be guys like Benzema, who I don't think would do it because he's just a quiet guy. But I do see maybe a Modric doing it. I do see maybe a Toni Kroos doing it, who seems more and more like he's a straight shooter. Casemiro, Marcelo, you know, I don't think they would bitch at him, but they would definitely like kind of tell him like, hey man, like, you know, like relax, like let's try to figure out a solution to this. So that's all a rumor, but that's something that Ramon Alvarez de Mon put on his YouTube channel. And, you know, he's a guy that's done a lot of like I said, he's part of Radio Marca. He's also part of this other show, La Galerna, and he's done, you know, he has a YouTube channel. And from what I'm seeing from comments, like a lot of people really do like the guy and like some of the things he brings to the table. But they were saying, you know, like this is, you got to kind of talk about who your sources are, because that is a big accusation to say that, you know, Ramos is essentially losing the dressing room because people were tired of like the whole contract situation. But anyway, that's some news there, you know, about, you know, the whole Ramos situation. And then, but essentially it's, you know, everyone was afraid of how we were going to do without Ramos, and we're doing fine right now, but but look at the teams we've played. Huesca, a very sleepy Getafe and a very sleepy Valencia, you know. When we go into the Champions League and we're playing Atalanta, who are a team that like to attack, you know, and are finding ways to score goals, we're going to need our defense to be on point. And that is going to be important. And now we're not going to have Carvajal for that game. We're not going to have him for the derby against Atletico, Carvajal. So, and I don't know if we're going to have Ramos. So it's going to have to be, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Nacho is doing, I think, is doing a fantastic job. I didn't like what he was playing as right back, but now I definitely like what he's playing right now as doing right now as center back. I think Mendy's doing a phenomenal job. I think Varane is finding his form again. And Lucas Vazquez did a good job today at left back as well. I'm sorry, at right back as well. So that is a good thing. Then our midfield is good. Hopefully we'll have Valverde back because he can always add, at least give guys like Modric some rest. I'm really hoping as well that, you know, Rodrigo is going to be back soon because I'd like to see what he's going to bring to the table again. I've said constantly on this podcast, I believe he's a out of the two Brazilian youth players that we have on our team and that were brought in, I do believe Rodrigo is the better player, at least the more mature player at this point in his skill set. So I think for everything I'm saying is that hope we're moving in the right direction where it seems like we're getting the players back that we need at the right time. Now, does that translate to us getting goals? Does that translate to us, making a run at the UCL, you know, and getting out of the round of 16? It remains to be seen, you know, can we keep this up? Will we beat Atletico? You know, we've done it before. I think we can do it again. They've still shown occasionally chinks in their armor, you know, so we'll see, you know, but I think, you know, like the good thing that we're seeing is these three wins build confidence, and they were essentially against teams that we were having trouble beating before. But my only issue is, but thankfully against larger teams like against the stronger teams, like teams, like I'm saying, like Atalanta, when we play them in the UCL, and Atletico Madrid, they aren't the type of teams, because we seem to always struggle when teams play the low block, right? And we haven't faced a team that's playing, I would say, an out-and-out, just, you know, let's have everybody defend low block in the last few games. So we've had this opportunity where there's more space to create and there's more space to move the ball and get into the and play the football that Madrid likes to play. So essentially it's been working, but it's also because, you know, no one's been standing there standing, parking the bus for against us, which was what we were doing, what they were doing. And we're finding finding success in it, either holding us to a draw or holding us to, you know, a nil-nil, like Osasuna did, you know. So essentially those were the things that were more difficult for us. But I think we're finding more creativity. Like I said, if Modric and Kroos continue to ramp up, what it seems like Casemiro is getting better as well. Like they're all sort of firing on all cylinders right now and just getting better and better and better. That I think at this point it's starting to work. You're seeing better movement from Vinicius. You're seeing better movement from Asensio, from Benzema. And we needed these three games right now are starting to help us get that confidence that we're going to need as we go into the Champions League and as we go into the end of the season, you know, where we're really going to need to pick up the points and make sure we don't. I mean, the point is hopefully we don't. I mean, obviously we want to try not to lose any of the games, but, you know, it remains to be seen. You know, we have to face Valladolid next, which, you know, on paper, as always, should be a simple one for us. But you never know with Madrid, you know. But after three games of us winning and getting that confidence, I think we can win that game. Atalanta is going to be the one that's up in the air, obviously. Then we face two solid teams, which are Real Sociedad and Atletico Madrid. So, you know, this form needs to essentially continue. I mean, of course, it needs to continue for the rest of the season. But this the where we're going to be tested is really after Valladolid is going to be the three games at the end of the one that's at the end of the February and the first two games in March. And then obviously Atalanta again, but then we have Elche, Celta Vigo, Eibar, and then, well, El Clásico on April 11th against Barcelona. So, you know, there's a string of games there where while we've won these three, we're going to get tested more. And if we can come out of those next, the game, if we can come out of Valladolid, Atalanta, Real Sociedad, Atletico Madrid, if we come out of those games with wins, I think definitely we're going to be looking at some happy times. You know, does it mean we're going to win the league? No, of course not. But it'll be something to really start showing that, you know, perhaps all the doom and gloom was just temporary. Because again, I think a lot of times we don't look at the reality of situations. And I think, you know, and I say that about a lot of us Madridistas, is that some people just don't take into account that there are so many other activities, so many other things and issues going around at affecting the team at the moment, you know, whether it's the injury situation, the COVID situation, the drama and from the media about the renewals, it's always going to be there, you know. But if this team can come out of that, it would be, not only would it be like Zidane kind of putting his foot down and giving an FU to everybody that ever doubted him. Because I don't doubt him. I just think, you know, there are certain things about him that I find arrogant and, you know, sort of he's just not the type of guy that wants to evolve. He wants to stick with what he's going to stick with his style, and he's going to stick with, you know, the players that he likes. And if he doesn't, and if you don't, if Zidane doesn't like you and doesn't rate you, then forget it. That's it. You're not going to play on this team, you know? And the problem is for the people that are Zidane haters is if he wins all these games and he starts doing better, unless Zidane leaves at the end of the season, if he can, you know, do the whole, you know, do the whole flor de Zidane, which is, you know, that he gets the luck of Zidane that he has and the black magic, as some people say. I don't think we're going to see him stay. I feel like he's going to leave on his own because he's not going to want to have to deal with the pressure anymore. But it'll kind of him be leaving with like, see, guys, I told you I could keep this. And you'll even have people fighting for him to stay, I think, you know. You know, I think he knows that it's moving in a direction where he, you know, I don't think he really wants to be a part of it. And whoever is going to be a part of it is going to, you know, have a tough time because it's going to be like, you know, here's all these youth guys. Here's all this youth. Here's the youth project that we have. Now you have to make something out of it. And not only do you have to make something out of it, you're telling this new coach that he's got to make do with all these new youth players that are talented, of course, and maybe a big signing like Haaland or Mbappe, and transform it immediately. And that's the word, immediately, because this is Real Madrid, immediately into a title-winning side. And that is not easy to do. But Real Madrid is not a type of team that the media and its many fans, or our many fans, our diehard Madridistas that are just very reactionary and could give zero Fs about, you know, letting somebody build their project, will be at that person's throat immediately if there are no results, you know. But for me, I'm thinking, you know, if we can salvage what's left of the season and have a good run at the Champions League, and, you know, hell, if we can win it, amazing. I doubt it. But if we could win the league or, you know, fight till the end and get some good results, there's so many things that are still up in the air where we can't really say no. You know, it's an absolute no. Because this year already with COVID is crazy. You know, it's crazy in the sense that no team is really, I think, unbeatable in the Champions League. No team. Not a Bayern is not unbeatable because we've seen them fall to. A Bayern is not unbeatable. A Manchester City is not unbeatable. You know, none of the teams are unbeatable. And while Barcelona and Real Madrid and some of the other teams are not playing to the best of their ability, they are still teams that are full of really quality players and are champions, you know, that have won the Champions League and have won titles and can show the world that they can. And I'm talking like Barcelona can give us a headache. You know, I hope they fail, but, you know, they can definitely keep giving us headaches, you know. So we have to make sure that this form that we're seeing right now from the games that we're playing right now continues. This form from Toni Kroos and Modric and Casemiro continues. That Benzema keeps firing them in. That Vinicius continues to improve. That Asensio continues to improve. That we get back Rodrigo. That we get back Fede Valverde so we can, you know, have some more depth in our squad. We're seeing, you know, Sergio Arribas and Marvin are looking solid. I mean, I think they're two exciting young guys. Marcelo as a makeshift center midfielder or whatever, if he can do it, if he can score goals for us, so be it, you know. Just don't play him at left back, you know. Mendy continues his great form. Nacho continues his great form. Varane, hopefully Ramos stays. Hopefully, and then, you know, at the end of the season, we'll see where everything stands. And then if whoever needs to come back, we'll come back. And whoever needs to leave, we'll leave. And hopefully we can get, you know, Haaland or Mbappe, which for me, it's more and more looking. For me, I'd like Haaland quite a bit, you know. I'm liking him more and more. But that's it, guys. I'm excited. I think it's a good time to be happy. Cautiously, though. Cautiously optimistic, I would say. But it's a good time. And hopefully we can continue this and, you know, just be excited. You know, be excited about what's happening. You know, another win, you know, we got 3 wins in a row. And let's hope it continues. You know, we play Valladolid this weekend. Then midweek next week, we have Atalanta. And we'll see where it goes from there. You know, and then we have some pretty tough games against Real Sociedad and Atletico Madrid, the derby. And, you know, we have another Clásico coming up. So, you know, there's we got our work cut out for us. But let's continue doing well. And, you know, I'm starting to see some positive stuff. And if we can continue that way, I'm happy. And a la Madrid, man, you know. So that's it. That's the podcast for this week. Thank you for joining me. And really, so let me just a couple of things. Remember, once again, social media. Check out Inada Mas Podcast. That's the handle, at Inada Mas Podcast. I'm on Twitter. I'm always pretty active there. Also, check it out on Instagram and Facebook. Check out our page. Give us a follow. Give us a subscribe. Tell your friends that are Madridistas. Help me boost this up. Help my boy that does the designs and stuff. Show him some love on Instagram. Also show us some love on YouTube. Real Madrid Hub is where we're going to be doing videos. Myself and Dr. Jota. So check us out on Real Madrid Hub. That is on YouTube. And really, that's it. Oh, and then the other thing that I'm going to talk about is that me and my boy Trombach, we're going to be doing, I'm going to try and see if we can do some Instagram lives. Possibly during the week, I will be maybe tell my designer to put together something to throw it out on Twitter and all the social media sites to kind of invite people to come to Instagram, and we'll kind of have schedule one, maybe like an Instagram live. I was thinking about doing it pre the game. So let's say if the game, let's say against Valladolid is at 3 p.m. Here in the United States, at least 3 p.m. Eastern time, which is, you know, Miami time. We'll do it at like 2 p.m., like an hour before, maybe 2 hours before. So it's kind of like, you know, we're going to get excited about the game and just talk about what we're hoping is going to happen. And, you know, just talk, I guess, you know, and you guys can join and you know, do whatever you want. You know, say what's up, talk to other Madridistas, whatever. So I'm going to see if I get that ready. And maybe we'll do a test one sometime this week. All right. So that's it from me. Thank you very much for joining the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. And I will be back next week, and hopefully it will be with another happy podcast after we defeat Valladolid. All right, guys. So thank you for listening.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.